Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. We are journeying through the book of Genesis, and we are now a little over a year into the book, and we're in Genesis chapter 12. We are specifically in verse 3, and I want to make a statement in that the richness of Scripture is such that even if you go line by line, verse by verse, there's so much power and so much knowledge and wisdom and blessing and lessons that can be learned by simply reading the Word of God. In order to understand verse 3, we need to look at verses 1 and 2 and 3 in that context. Referencing back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, this conversation between God and Abraham is the basis for what we talked about last week, which is faith. We said faith is not merely positive thinking or believing something, but it's believing God's word, which has basis, because God is the author of faith. Now, we said that go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And here he's talking about what Pastor Mark talked about the previous weeks, where he talked about God leaving your comfort zone, your sense of security, your identity, your kindred, and referring to your relationships and your father's house, and I will show you a land. And then we talked about the difference between Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, which is this idea of, in Genesis 12, we find the words, I will, I will, I will. In Genesis 11, we find the words, let us, let us, let us. Two different types of building. I'm going to build it my way versus God will build it for me. Notice also in verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And there we find this theme of I will, I will. And he says, I will make you into a great nation. And in converse, the people of the building the Tower of Babel were also trying to build a city which has a tower that reaches up to the heavens. He also said, I will bless you and make your name great. And the people building the Tower of Babel were also wanting to build a tower to make their name great. So we saw the difference in having fear versus faith, building for my own name, but versus for the glory of God, depending on my own strength versus depending on the strength of God. Today, we're going to look at yet another theme of these verses, and it's the word blessing. Here it mentions at the tail end of verse 2, that I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. This idea of blessing and bless. Further, in chapter 12, verse 3, it says, I will bless those who bless you. And there's that word bless again. And another word bless. And as we've said time and time again, when the Bible repeats itself, it's emphasizing a thought, this idea of blessing. The Hebrew word, regardless of whether it's the word blessed, blessing, or bless, is the word barak. Okay? That's why if you think about the former president of the United States, he was blessed in certain ways. That was his name. Barak means to bless. That word barak, in a very short definition, is to speak or act in a way that expresses a deep desire for love, peace, and provision. When you're blessing someone. Now, I know that we use this word very loosely. When somebody sneezes, we say, God bless you, even though we really don't have a deep seated expression of love. You know what I'm saying? That's not really what it means. Sometimes we end a prayer and a text and says, God bless you. Then we can loosely use this word, but that word actually means to speak or to act in a way that expresses a deep desire for love, peace, and provision. Whenever I sleep, when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do these days is rub my fingers for about a minute. This is the ritual of an older man. And I rub my fingers, and then for about a minute, and after a minute, I put it on top of my eyes to keep it warm, and I kind of massage it. And because they say that when you get old, the first thing that goes are your eyes. But that's the first thing I did. The next thing I do is I speak a blessing over my wife. Marie, I bless you, even though she's asleep. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I bless you that your day will be great, because it's a deep-seated expression of love, of peace, and provision over her. Then I begin to bless my children. I bless you, Joseph. I bless you, Carla. I bless you, my grandchildren, Philip. I begin to bless every member of the family because that's what a blessing does. And it's important. Now, notice that this idea and concept of a blessing does not start just here in Abraham's time. It actually began in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where God speaks a blessing to Adam and Eve and said, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful. I want you to increase. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have great measures. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to subdue the earth. Expression of love. I want you to have peace and goodness. More than that, God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth. I want to give you provision. I bless you. That's what a blessing is. And every tree with the seed, its fruit, you shall have them for food. This was the order of the beginning of creation. God's heart, God's expressed desire is the goodness, the goodwill, the peace, the love, the provision at the time of Adam and Eve. Now, we reach Genesis chapter 12 and the world's changed. The world's become violent, sinful, disobedient against God. And this was the moment where now God's about to reboot the world in the life of Abraham to set yet back his heart of blessing the nation. In order to do that, he needed to find the man whom he was going to bless, who in turn will now be a blessing, and so the earth will once again be blessed of God. Blessing. A deep-seated expression of a desire for love, for peace, and provision. When someone has that, that person has hope. And he knew that if Abraham was to walk alone in this world that is of violence and sin, he needed to have hope. He needed to have confidence and he needed to have joy. That's what a blessed heart has. When you have a blessed heart, you have a heart that's full of hope, full of confidence, and full of joy. I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea of hope. You and I will not make it through the day without hope. We need hope literally every day. You and I woke up this morning. What got us out of bed is there's hope that this is going to be a good day. What will get you through your job, what will get you through this planet is hope. Everything we do is rooted in this idea of hope. Now, there's two kinds of hope. There's the hope that is man-made, and there's the hope that comes from God. But regardless of what hope you're trusting in, the fact is you cannot survive the day without hope. We are all hoping that tomorrow is going to be a good day. We're all hoping that we will progress. We're all hoping for good health. We're hoping for good relations, hoping for our marriages, hoping for finances, hoping and hoping against hoping. When you buy a cream and you rub it on your face, you're hoping you're going to look younger. Everything you do is hope. When you watch a movie, you're hoping it's going to be a fun movie. Hope is hope. To the last day of our lives, it will be about hope. For just about every area of our life, it will be about hope. And so understanding hope begins with a blessed heart. When God blesses you, that's the basis for your hope. It's not fake because you know God said it, and on the basis of that, I will trust and I will hope. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalm 33, verse 17, that there's a false kind of hope. There's a hope that you can use, hope that I'm going to marry this man or woman, and hope that this marriage is going to work, and hope that all of these things will happen to me, but it is baseless. Because ultimately, hope that is real hope is hoping in what God has promised me and what God has blessed me with. So what is hope? Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Hope is an anchor. It is the thing that does not spin you around or set you in the wrong direction. Whether there's a storm or a current at sea, these things will take you in a different direction in your journey of life away from God. Hope in God causes you to drop anchor. And so whatever happens in your life, whatever current or whatever storms prevail, you will stay the course. Hope, therefore, is what makes life firm and secure. When you have hope in God, there is a life that has a basis in something that is firm and secure. That's what an anchor does. An anchor sets you in a place that's firm and secure. It may wobble, it may move. Life's not a rigid thing. Life has ways and movements and tangents, but at the end of the day, there's hope that anchors me and brings my soul back where it should belong. Hope. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" When you feel downcast, when you feel low, when you feel depressed, why are you so disturbed when you're irritated and things are not happening well? There's something in your soul, there's something in your heart that's bothered. It's probably because you haven't put your hope in God, the verse says. "For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." When you know that God is your Savior, the worst thing, the absolute worst thing that can happen to any one of us is to get to that place where we're about to die. And the best thing that's ever happened to us is the divine assurance that we are saved and washed by the blood of a Savior. And if that is true, that the worst thing that can happen to me has been spelled out for me by a Savior, then everything else is a bonus that guarantees he will save me time and time again. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." That's the question for you and I this morning. Do you know the plans that God has for you? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That's plans to bless you and provide for you. That's what prosperity means. I want to prosper you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When our future is based on the hope in God, we will have a future. When our future is based on our own abilities, our future is cloudy. It's not necessarily very clear. Now, here's the fundamental difference between hope and confidence. Hope is long-term. Hope would be your boat, your anchor, the thing that you're journeying in. Without a boat and an anchor, how many of you know you're swimming a sea? Not a very nice journey. Hope gives you a boat and an anchor. Confidence is another thing. If hope allows you to journey properly, confidence is knowing how to manage the boat. There's a difference. Hope is waking up and knowing this is going to be a great day. God has promises for me. But confidence is the knowledge to know that I can make this happen. I can do this. Confidence is important. In fact, God wanted Abraham to have confidence because God knew that confidence was necessary to attract people. How many of you know when you see someone who's confident, it's attractive? And when you see someone who's insecure, it feels like someone who has a cold and you don't want to be around them. God knew that Abraham had to have confidence to know what had to be done or needed to be done in order to see the journey pull through. Now, there's different types of confidence. One of the most common ones is self-confidence. Not a bad thing, but not necessarily the best thing. Self-confidence comes, friend, with knowing that you know that you know that you know what you're doing. When you're confident and you believe that what you're about to do is something you know, then there will be a level of confidence in the thing that you're doing. For instance, when I started going to the gym when I was a younger man, there was not a lot of confidence because I wasn't sure about what I was doing. But today, I can go to any part of the world and go into a gym, and because there's a level of confidence, because I've been doing it for years, I know exactly what to do and I'm in one. That is confidence. For instance, preaching here this morning, I have a level of self-confidence to know because I've been doing this for 30 years. And if you've been doing something for 30 years and you do it every week for 50 weeks, how many of you know you will have a level of confidence? The danger with self-confidence is you might think that every time you pull that confidence out, it will be there for you. It's a good thing to memorize the words, "Apart from you, I can do nothing." As an older man these days, I've learned to even do that when I'm running in a treadmill. "Apart from you, Jesus, I can do nothing." And it gives you the confidence and the strength not just to trust in your own self-confidence, but to look to God. The other basis for confidence would be positive thinking. And this is another, not a bad thing to have positive thinking. The danger with positive thinking is when you become so positive that you think you can do anything. I'm going to make a confession to you. How many of you have vivid dreams, you know, real dreams that you thought actually happened when you woke up? How many of you have dreams like that? It feels like that actually happened. And how many of you have those dreams that you feel like actually happened, and not just that, you just don't feel it actually happened, it keeps happening to you. I have one such dream, and it's the dream that this dream is so vivid that when I wake up, I actually feel like it just happened. And the dream is this: I dream like I can actually fly. You know, there are times when I could fly from here to there. And then I would wake up and I would have this foolish notion that I could fly. And then I would look out of my apartment and think, no, I can't fly. Positive thinking, no amount of positive thinking will get you there. And sometimes that's the danger of too much positive thinking, because just because you think you can do it doesn't mean you will do it. When we start looking for hope and confidence in the wrong places, we won't find them. It's kind of like looking for your lost keys. And you never find them because you're looking in the wrong place. When you start looking for hope and confidence in God, you will always find it. Interesting, isn't it? That every time you cry out to God, whether it's a lost key that you just lost, I just had one of those recently, and you keep trusting and hoping that God, my confidence is in you, you know exactly where those keys are. And guess where they were? In my back pocket. Amen? God knew it was there. The third form of confidence is arrogance, which is probably the worst one, where you think you know something when you really don't. Combination of self-confidence, positive thinking is probably not a bad thing, but to think that you're going to have all of that as you journey for life is arrogance, because only God knows where your path lies, and only God knows how to take you into your future. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." That's what it means. When you turn away from the Lord, you're trusting in your own strength, your own abilities. Your hope is in yourself. Verse 7 says, "But blessed," and there's that word blessed, "is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." If you want to walk blessed and have that deep-seated, expressed love of God, that peace of God, that knowledge of God's provision for your soul, that's the confidence that will go the distance. Isaiah 32 verse 17 says, "The fruit of righteousness, of that righteousness will be peace." Again, this idea of confidence, peace, and being blessed. In a sense, confidence is not trying harder or believing things. It's an outcome of something that you already have, because you believe in the fruit of righteousness. And as a result, you just won't have confidence. You will have confidence forever, for every situation, because God's always going to be there to be with you and to meet you at every turn. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, because we have God as our relationship," not just as we don't just have a boat, we have God in our boat. Almost like Jesus in that storm. And there lies our confidence. We know that he hears us. In whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked for. Hope and confidence is necessary to journey through life. And God knew for Abraham to succeed, to be a blessing to the world, as he reboots the world, he needed to have that blessing in his soul, to have that hope and that confidence. If you've ever been to our website, we've got a revamped website, as Pastor Joshua just mentioned. And there's a little button then that says About. When you click it, one of the things you're going to see is this picture of our leadership team. And looks like a boy band, right? That's what happens when old men want to look young. I so appreciate, after living in Singapore for 14 months, I so appreciate these men. Really, not just because each of these men are gifted and talented in teaching, in pastoring, Some of these guys are the most loving people I've met. I'm not even just saying this. I've traveled the world. I've been around. I've been in many churches. I've pastored for many years. These are some of the best human beings I've ever met. And I mean it. But you know, the greatest thing about this man is really not even that. Is that when you meet with them and you part ways, you know that you know that you know their confidence is not in themselves and not in men, but in God. And in that gives me hope and security for this church. Because I know that the men I'm working with are like that. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me, in you, in us, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That's where my confidence lies. Not just in my self-confidence, which is not a bad thing. Not just in positive thinking, which is not a bad thing. Arrogance is different, okay? You don't want to go there. Where you think you know everything, but you really don't. It's presumption. As I try and land this message, hope, confidence equals joy. The more hope and the more confidence you have, the result of that is joy. Sometimes the reason why you try to muster up joy and happiness, by the way, the word blessed means happy. Blessed, happy are those. Joyful are those. You can't manufacture happiness and joy. You can't have a measure of happiness with happenings. That's where that word happiness comes from. When the happenings are nice and you feel happy, happiness from the happenings. Blessing is something much deeper. It's knowing that someone expresses love to you and peace to you and goodwill to you. When you have that hope and you have that confidence, you will have that joy. And joy is something that lasts. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you make known to me, notice, the path of life, the journey through life. In your presence is not just joy, but the fullness of joy. That word fullness means abundant, excessive. You can't manufacture that. Yeah, that comes from hope and confidence in God. Which brings us full circle to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. The fundamental difference between Genesis 12, verse 3, and Genesis chapter 1, where God simply said, I bless you, goodwill, peace, provision, every fruit is you, is because now the world has become sinful and violent and against God, that now there are people who are cursing, whose deep-seated desire is not to bless, but to curse. And so God steps into the picture and says, if anybody curses you or dishonors you, I will curse him. In that you can have my hope and my confidence and my joy. That you don't have to fight back. That you know that I am for you and not against you. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine. When your heart's joyful, it's like having medicine. It's like something that heals you. The more joyful you are, the more confidence and the more hope, the more joy, the more healing, so to speak. Joy is important. How do you know that you have joy? It's actually your tongue that tells you cursing that exposes your joy. It would be like a broken gas gauge. So a car that this gas gauge was broken and it was perennially at empty. How do you know that the gas gauge is not broken? It overflows because that's the way it works. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. How do you know what's in there? When you put something in there and it overflows and comes out, then you know that's what's in there. It's the same with your heart. When what comes out is a blessing, then you have a blessed heart. When what comes out is a wish for ill for others, there's something sick about that heart. Thus, we find people who curse. A dirty tongue exposes an impure heart. Is your tongue dirty? Mine used to be very dirty. Couldn't finish a sentence without the F word or the S word, or as a Filipino, the P word. But is your tongue dirty? Because if it is, it really exposes simply an impure heart. A harsh tongue exposes an angry heart. Are you always angry? I used to be. I used to be so harsh with my wife until I decided I needed to change that. I needed to be a blessing. I needed to wake up in the morning blessing rather than being harsh. It's your heart. A heart that's harsh simply is a heart that has no hope, that has no confidence, and as a result of that is angry and will curse. A negative tongue exposes a hopeless heart. When your heart is hopeless and you don't have the hope of God, you will be negative. A boastful tongue exposes an insecure heart. I've got to prove myself. I ran out of space, but the critical tongue exposes a proud heart. When you're always criticizing because you think you're better than others, it's probably because your heart's not blessed. There's a blessed tongue. An encouraging tongue reveals a hopeful heart. When your words encourage, wow, that was great. Wow, that was fantastic. Whoa, Pastor Kenneth, you're amazing. Whoa, Pastor Josh, you're an amazing human being. When you begin to do that, there's something about you that's encouraging because your heart's hopeful. You see above the current infractions. An affirming tongue reveals a confident heart. I can affirm you because I'm confident about who I am. I don't have to bring you down because my confidence is not in me. It's in the Lord. An enthusiastic tongue reveals a joyful heart. When you're always enthusiastic and positive, there's joy in your heart. A gentle tongue reveals a well-loved heart. When you know that God loves you and that He died on the cross to save you from your sins, there's something that happens to your heart. And consequently, something happens to your tongue. And a controlled tongue reveals a peaceful heart. When you can, don't have to run after the word you've already cursed, but you can stop it right there and say, that's not the heart that I have. I have the heart of God because God has blessed me. I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation. There is hope. I will make your name great. Be confident of this. And on the basis of that, you can have joy. And in that joy, you're going to have a tongue. A blessed heart is simply a blessing of a tongue. And whenever you don't see that, it's probably because you haven't understood what it means to be blessed. And that's my prayer for you this morning. That you would understand that God blesses you. He loves you. A deep-seated desire to express love, peace, provision, goodness, and all the best of His kingdom. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? There's some of you, God brought you here this morning to hear this message of hope that comes in the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just close your eyes for a minute. And if you're here today and you have not experienced the hope of Jesus Christ, would you just quickly just lift up your hand right now? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. You can put it down. The magic's not in raising your hands. The power is in confessing God. We put our hope, we put our confidence in nothing and no one but You. We accept the fact that we're sinners, we're lost, we don't know the path to righteousness. But in Jesus we are saved, restored to that rightful place, to be seated in heavenly realms, blessed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you just lift up all your hands, everybody across this room? Father, we thank you for the blessing that you've given us through the years. Continue to grow us in our understanding of hope, of confidence, and joy, that our tongues and our lives may be a blessing even as you have blessed us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.